I want to thank Pastor Wood for giving me this opportunity to preach the gospel and preach his word. And Lord, I just thank the Lord for this opportunity as well. And if you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, a familiar passage, one that we've gone over actually with Pastor Wood over the last several months, so should be fairly familiar with it if you've been here. John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 7. How about that? Okay. John chapter 3, starting verse 7, says this in the word of God, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So everyone that is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell ye of heavenly things?" Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy towards us. Lord, just thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, dear God. And Lord, just ask you to be with me tonight as I bring forth your word. Lord, just help for it to be everything that you would have me to say, to be according to your will. Lord, that you would just be with our ears tonight, help for us to listen and to have whatever you have to say, dear God. And whatever I have written here, Lord, that you would, if there's anything that you need me to change as I'm preaching, as I'm teaching, Lord, that you would just do that, have your own way tonight. Be with all the requests that are made tonight, Lord, that you just touch and heal those with physical needs and be with those with spiritual needs. Think of TJ and his wife. And Lord, just be with all things that happen tonight, offer to be honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So throughout the Bible, there have been many instances of God revealing himself as a creator of all things, not just through Genesis, but through the multiple sections in both Old and New Testament. We might sometimes wish that we could have been able to see God create the earth and maybe even the whole universe. We kind of think of it with the 4th of July coming. We think of all the exciting things, like you had the fireworks. And when you get to the end of the fireworks, what you get a bunch going off at all at the same time. And it's basically like kind of the grand finale. You just kind of sit back, you're like, man, that's awesome. You're trying to take it all in, but they're all going so fast. And you're like, and just kind of imagine what God's creation would be like and just hit do the word of his power and it's rolled just like that. And so you could kind of just wish you were there. But is God done creating? I think we can answer it with this passage. If we look at verse 11, I want you to take a very close look at that. Jesus says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we." Now, why do you say we? Who's there? Who's there right now? So we know that Nicodemus is there, right? And we know that Jesus is there. Who else is there? Anybody? Anybody? No one else is there. It's just Jesus and Nicodemus. So why does he say we? That kind of got me curious because Pastor Wood was speaking on this a few months ago, I think, and that stuck out to me. He's like, why do you say we? You know, he could have just said I, or, you know, I'm testifying to you, but he didn't just say I, he said we. One thing I was kind of curious about is when Jesus says we, how many times do you think he said we in the whole New Testament? If you just take it from what he says, you know, how many times do you think, well, we are going to go do this, or we are going to do this? Actually, all three instances are found in this verse. I didn't know that. And that kind of got me curious. And so I was thinking, well, how many other times is God say we? We have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verse 26. And if we want to turn there, you can. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. After creating for 5 days, God decides that he's going to take a chance and create man. I have to say how merciful he is for doing that. But he had a will and a purpose for that. But as we see in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after we are in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything," and then it goes on. But it is interesting that in the plural, like us, our, when God does it, he's referring to the whole Trinity, you know, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And so he's not even saying their names, but they're there. They're right there testifying to Nicodemus. The whole Trinity is trying to get Nicodemus to come to Christ. It's not just Jesus doing the work, because, you know, if this was after Jesus was baptized, remember, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend like the dove, and what did God say? It's like, "This is my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased." And that is just a blessing right there, saying, listen to this man. He's more than a man. He is my Son, and you need to listen to him, because he testifies of me. And that's one just encouraging thing I saw from that verse. But to kind of answer the question, so we see the plural here, and so we see this, but is God done creating? I think we can answer that even further, if we even can continue on. In order to answer the question, we need to realize who Jesus is. Unlike, unfortunately, Jehovah's Witnesses, they keep revising their Bible to take out Jesus and his deity. And I was at the, I guess you'd say, a fortunate circumstance of witness to them. And they don't really have an answer for you bringing out the Old Testament, because they haven't gone back far enough to change out all the deities of Christ. They'll eventually get there. I forget how many revisions they have, but it's ridiculous now. But anyway, so we see who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega in Revelation 1, the eternal God in John 1, 2, and also we see him as the incarnated Christ, and the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world in John 1, 29. We also see him to be the Savior of all men, and would rise again and defeat death and save forever. And he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, according to Revelation 1, 17 through 18. And we know that he never changes, according to Hebrews 13, 8. We see him as the I Am, the creator of all things, which lead us to where we should turn our focus towards. I remember when I was talking to Jehovah's Witnesses and telling them about the I Am, they're just like, "So you think that means talking about Jesus or Jesus calling himself God?" It's like, there's no doubt. Why would they pick up stones to stone a man for just saying, "I am"? Would you think, you know, someone just pick up stones and say, "Oh, you said I am"? Just chuck a stone. You're like, what kind of, what is this, a playground? You know, it's like, no, they knew exactly what he's saying. He was calling himself Jehovah God. There is no mistake. And they just kind of pause and they change the subject as they kind of do. But, you know, that's what made him uncomfortable, because they have no answer for who God is. And I remember finishing the conversation, I quoted to them, I think it was 1 John. It's like, for those who deny Christ, you know, who deny the Son, don't have life. And he's like, "Oh yeah, we have the Son." Like, no, you don't, because you deny the very essence of who Jesus Christ is. You deny him as God, and there is no other God but him. The crux of the story that we have here must be found not just here in John 3:11, but at the beginning, as we see in creation. And then even in John 3 of the same chapter, the end of 31, just in case there is any confusion, maybe a mistranslation, maybe it wasn't really supposed to be "we," maybe it was just supposed to be "I," did, you know, translators, you know, they're a little lazy, they're, you know... That's what I get from Jehovah's Witnesses, but this is that point. But at the end of the chapter, verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all," talking about Jesus Christ, "and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And he that hath seen and heard, he testifieth, And that brings you back to verse 11 and saying, we testify it. And so that just confirms the three and one right there. And so I thought that was encouraging. And John the Baptist even confirms that. And so it's like he's the one that's testifying. We just think about Pastor Wood mentioned TJ and his how God's worked in his life. And, you know, it's funny, I don't know how many of you know the story, but, you know, Pastor Wood, you know, he's just mowing the lawn out front. TJ comes up, you know, curious about the church, I believe, and he's coming from the Walmart way, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like God just worked in that, and he's testifying in whatever was said, and he came to Christ. He was saved right outside those doors. And that's God's work. That's not Pastor Wood's work. He's at the right place at the right time because God had him there. You know, it's nothing that he can boast in. It's just God brought him to him. You know, God was testifying his heart. Just to think, because what was it? A YouTube video of 1 Timothy? Because what does it say in Romans 10:17? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the word of God, and he was convicted. He knew he needed God. Obviously, God was working his heart. And so that was working his heart. That made him drive this way, made him stop, talk to Pastor Wood, and look what God did. God created a new creature that day. God's not done creating. That's a blessing. So God does not just want us to testify his power in physical creation, because everyone can see it, but of his spiritual transformation. He wants each and every one of you who are born again to testify to him. Just like Andrew has the opportunity, maybe with his neighbor, Jeremy. He has the opportunity to testify. Lord willing, you know, he has the opportunity. And same with anyone else of you who are able to be in contact with people who don't know Christ. It's your opportunity to testify. It's not you who's testifying. It's God who's testifying through you. So don't feel pressure. It's not, oh, I got to have the right words to say. I got to get the right verse. You know, this is Jehovah's Witness person. Oh, I got to think of a verse. No. The Holy Spirit, if you're faithful in the word of God, he will bring those thoughts to remembrance. He'll bring that verse into your mind at the right time. It's not of you. It's of him. So just keep, stay encouraged in that. But God does not want to just testify of those physical things and spirits, but he does want to show the spiritual transformation of wicked, vile, and unsavory sinners, such as I am. Just like Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed our report? Who has the arm of the Lord revealed? And sometimes you can get discouraged. Sometimes like you feel like Isaiah, you know, he's like, got real discouraged. You remember after a big victory, after a real encouragement, you know, taking on the prophets of Baal, but still he fell because maybe he got a little bit too hot-headed. You know, he's, you know, all up in himself a little bit too, but then, you know, he just had the right person come along and they scare the wits out of you. And, you know, with some women, I can understand. but, you know, so I can't blame him. Turn to Isaiah 45, if you would. Isaiah 45 before I get myself in too much trouble. But The good news is I'm not married yet, but, you know, that could come to yet. Yeah, I have big emphasis on yet, but Lord willing, maybe someday, you know. Isaiah 45, we'll start in verse 17. This one, a really good passage if you want to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses people, because it talks about who created the earth and why it was God himself. And if that's the truth, then you have to go back to John 1, who created all things, Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's fun to go around with them sometimes. But so John 45, starting verse 17, this is God's talking to Israel here, but some of it's applicable to us today. It says this, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, a world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. There's the point. He hath established it and created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. not in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto thee, unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speakest righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images, and pray unto God, a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from the time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So we get a clear indication, because who's the Savior of the world? Jesus Christ. And then also a just God and a Savior points to Jesus Christ. God the Father and the Son are active and involved when we are witnessing to others in order to make a new creation. As we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he makes a new creature. All things have become new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Ezekiel 36:26, God gives us a heart of flesh in trade for our stony heart. If you want to turn to Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, maybe you're probably familiar with this when you maybe witness to somebody. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8, it says, you know this probably by heart, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in the times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not by works. Just want to point that out. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, because remember, we're enemies with God before we knew Christ, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So making peace. On the second page, so that's a good sign. So we're made, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ, as it says there. And in Colossians 3:10 says, we are to put off the old man. It would be kind of silly for us when we kind of think of it this way. Sometimes, you know, when you take a shower, you don't put on the clothes you just took off. You put on new clothes. It's kind of simple, but, you know, some people don't get that. Not pointing fingers. But there's some people who don't get that, but I understand. But yeah, it's kind of common sense. You change. But it's not you that changes you. It's God that changes you. Through his word, through his spirit, he's the one that gives you the ability to change. I've known people who, I grew up in a Christian home, so I don't have like that, wow, big change of life story or whatever. Neither do I want one, because I don't want to be in sin like that. Praise God, that didn't happen to me. But there's, you know, you could tell when someone is working in someone's, when God's working in someone's heart. Because you all of a sudden you see this person and, like, you know, they're acting one way, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing whatever they want. And then, like, You see it, like, God just grabs a hold of him, and it's like, you're a new creature. And boom. It's like, what happened to that guy? He has Christ. He's got God. In Galatians 6, 14 through 15, God forbid that I should glory, as Paul says, save in the cross. For in Christ Jesus, neither anything in my flesh or keeping of works or anything like that, but a new creature because of Jesus Christ. So we are invited to see God create new creatures when we witness to people. Please don't take that lightly. Like I said, there's no pressure on you. It's all God working through his Spirit. But make sure your heart's right. Make sure when you have the opportunity to witness that it's not a wasted time, as Pastor Wood was preaching on, which was pretty convicting on Sunday night, making sure that you're not just using words, you know, you're not just, you know, flipping with your words or whatever, you know. Use your words with a purpose. You don't know when your last word will be. Like, you know, Lord willing, we all go home tonight safely. But to be honest with you, we don't know our last. So just keep that in mind as you go. And not in a body or life form, but in, so we don't see like new creatures pop up. You know, God's not creating like a new, you know, new Lego character or whatever, you know, popping up everywhere. That'd be kind of creepy anyway. But he's actually creating new creatures in Christ. You know, he's adding more to his family through his work. And we get to be a part of that. And what an encouragement and what a blessing that is to be a part of that. But yes, he's making more brothers and sisters in Christ, not just to be, not just to exist, because creatures aren't just made to exist. God made us for a purpose. He made us to work. You know, I hate to break it to you, but when we get to heaven, you probably have something for us to do. But that's okay, because we'll enjoy it. Because for the first time, we won't have pain, aches, and all that. We'll be willing to serve our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. So hope that encourages you tonight. Thank you for listening.